Hello, and welcome to the Weekly Comic Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayer. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics. One from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review. This is Weekly Comics Spotlight 357 for comics originally released on June 11th, 2014. Now, starting us off in DC is Infinity Man and the Forever People number one. How much do you know kind of about the Forever People, the Fourth World, all that stuff, Drew?
Seems like it's a Kirby creation.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
And same creative team of Giffen and Didio that did OMAC.
Uh-huh.
That's where it ends.
Okay. Let's start with what you think of this.
I thought this was pretty good. I thought it was interesting. I didn't know the characters, but it's first issue, so it did a pretty good job of introducing me to these characters, and I don't know if it's really my sort of book, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad book.
I would agree with it wasn't a bad book, but this is one of those that had it come out from like some other publisher and wasn't connected to like the Marvel or DC universe or had some other kind of intrinsic draw, I really don't know that I would have picked this up. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Giffen's kind of Kirby art style. Don't hate it, but I'll be honest, sometimes it gets in the way of the story for me. I'm not really a huge fan of Dan Didio's writing. He's done some stuff I've really enjoyed, his Metalman run on Wednesday's Comics in particular. But this, much like OMAC, was not to my tastes. Nor am I really a huge Fourth World fan either. I mean, I don't hate the characters. I'm just a little ambivalent to them. I've read Forever People stuff in the past and found it's okay. It's good. It's decent, but it's just kind of there. I know there are a lot of people who really get excited about that kind of stuff. But really, when the Fourth World stuff was going down, that was just a little before I really got into comics and such. So I don't have that nostalgia and stuff. And I suppose that does kind of beg the question of why did I get this title then? And I mean,
because you're all in.
Well, that's certainly one of the factors. I'm all in on the new 52. I'm curious about the title. Frankly, I can afford the 8 to 12 issues. I think it'll probably last. I don't want to pass on something like this sight unseen because, I mean, I've liked some of the stuff both of these creators have done in the past. And I wanted to at least give it a shot, you know? And frankly, it was pretty much what I had kind of expected. Nothing great, nothing horrible, nothing particularly to my tastes. I think, again, there is an audience, the group of people who just loved OMAC, they're probably going to eat this up. That wasn't my, you know, thoughts on OMAC. That's not my thoughts here. I thought there were a couple of places here where we just got way too much exposition. I particularly thought when the characters arrive on Earth, we get kind of that roll call telling us who's who and what's special about them. And it was just so perfunctory that it was a little disappointing. I'd rather they show us who these characters are than just tell us. And again, there's nothing horrible here. I did like Big Bear. I thought it was a good take on that character. Again, I've got passing familiarity with these characters, unlike you, because again, it's not like they've been heavily used in the last, well, probably 10, 20 years. Jeez, I don't remember the last time they had their own miniseries. I think, like I said, there's an audience for this. It's just, it wasn't me.
Yeah,
you know?
I think ambivalent is a good word. That's kind of how I felt. I was, this is okay, but this is nothing that I would recommend to anyone that I would go out of my way to read another. I might flip through issue two on the news rack or on the new release rack, and you know, see what's going on. But I didn't pre-order anymore, and there's nothing in here that makes me want to pre-order anymore or to hunt these down. So for me, it's just a three.
I can see that. I mean,
a low three.
I don't think this was going to make people fans of the group if they weren't already. It doesn't cover enough ground, I think, to do that. For me, again, I'm all in the new 52. There was nothing about this that really just turned me off thinking, wow, why am I wasting my money or anything? I'm ambivalent is again, just the right way to describe it. This started dead center on the three and really didn't vary either way on it. If I had to cut back, particularly if I had to cut back in the New 52, this would be one of the first titles on the chopping block for me. Just because, again, it's not really aimed towards me. But I don't have to. I don't want to cut back on stuff. I'm going to ride it out. I want to see where it goes. I'm going to give these guys a chance to see if they can win me over with this group of characters. But, I mean, a lot of people don't have that option, that luxury to be a little indulgent in stuff on comics. I get that. Unless you're big on the fourth world or these particular creators, not worth your time or your money, in my opinion. I can probably direct people to a couple other podcasts that will vehemently disagree and be just raving about this, though. So different things for different people, and that's great.
Yeah, I've heard a couple of those this week, too. And it's fans of OMAC. If you liked OMAC, you'll like this.
Fans of OMAC, fans of Kirby, fans of that stuff. And again, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. There are certain things I'm a fan of just because of kind of my age bracket and what was kind of big and out there when I was growing up. I think if I were a couple of years older, I might be that way for Kirby stuff, particularly the fourth world. Because again, it was really the mid-70s or whatever, mid to late 70s, he was doing some of this. And I came in just kind of right after that. Or right on the heels of it and such. So it was around when I was getting into comics. I was aware of it, but I just wasn't into it. And nothing since then has really gotten me that way. And I'm willing to bet some of the podcasts that have people that are just head over heels for it, they're just a little bit older than I am. I'm not saying that's categorically or the only reason somebody would like it, but I would suspect that's going to be one of the driving factors for the typical fan of that kind of stuff. Shall we move on to our Marvel book?
Yeah.
This is Hulk number 4. This is by Mark Waid and Mark Bagley. I will say there was one thing that really horribly disappointed me with this issue. And right now, a lot of the stories Mark Waid is telling is just really working great for me. I think he's got a similar kind of mindset and sensibility of story and stuff. A lot of what he writes resonates with me. And he's got a very different status quo for Bruce Banner and the Hulk here. And given how many status quos that characters had, those characters have had over the years, that in and of itself is pretty impressive. But while this issue kind of kicks off almost a new status quo for the characters, this is Waid's last issue on the book. Jerry Duggan, I think, takes over next issue. Things have been really moving while Waid's been on this book. Things have been happening. Again, he's doing great stuff on Daredevil. He's doing really well, in my opinion, these days. This showed no hope of slowing down, except, well, we're switching creators. So, disappointed by that.
Yeah, I thought this was pretty good. I did enjoy the stuff with him experiencing the brain damage in the earlier issues, and I thought they moved pretty quickly through that. I don't know if they were done. I was going to say I'm not sure they were done. They could have explored that some more, but now that you mentioned that they're changing creators, I can see him wanting to button that up and revert everything back to kind of the way it was for the next creator to take over.
But that's almost exactly what didn't happen at the end here. I thought what they did at the end really put the pieces on the chessboard in a whole new configuration for the new writer. And it closed off this brain damage chunk, but again, set something new up.
But a lot closer to the norm, at least for the last Mark Waid volume.
Yeah, I would say closer to the norm, but a lot happens at that last page, you know. And what's fun about this character is character or characters, depending if you consider Hulk and Banner the same or different, and there's good reason to go either way on that, is, I mean, really, ever since the Peter David run ages ago in the 80s and such, there have been so many different, even before that, really, so many different status quos for the character. You know, what color is he? Is he mad? Is he angry? Can he control the transformations? Can he not? You know, is he being hunted by the government? Is he not? Does he just want to be left alone? Is he a bit more aggressive? Every time I think they've run out of different directions to go, you know, Waid pulls what he's done. You know, he's done at least two or three different directions in his, you know, last year or so on the book. Sets up another one on his way out the door, at least on this title. I like that. I enjoy that. And it's not in a way that it feels haphazard or chaotic. Each one kind of, let me take that back. Some of it did seem a little out of nowhere, but this fell in. A lot of the ones lately have been making some sense in continuity, if you will. Although if pushed, I may waver on that assessment. How about that?
Okay.
That's wishy-washy enough, isn't it? It's, because, I mean, really, the whole him working for S.H.I.E.L.D., I felt, came a little out of nowhere from that previous run. The start of this run had a key event that almost kind of came out of nowhere to set that off. And then what's happening here was a little, it was very unpredictable. It makes sense when you see it, but it's not something you could say, oh, well, they've telegraphed it, they were going to go here all along. I mean, I'm sure they were, but, so.
Yeah, it was, I did like the way, you know, they solved it and fixed him, I guess. I did like that. I just wish, it just seemed like we weren't done spending time with the other Banner, because we only got a couple issues with him, really, and that made for some interesting storylines, very unique storylines that hadn't been told before. And so it did feel like, well, they didn't spend enough time exploring that.
I would agree with that. I think if Wade had been on the book longer, this would have played out later.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it makes perfect sense now that you tell me about the creative switch that, yeah, he's got to just abandon ship and button things up as best he can and move on, because, you know, the next guy's not going to want to play in that sandbox. And, you know, I really liked Nova before Duggan. And so I'm not looking, I don't like it after. So I don't have any kind of hopes for this to continue in a positive way. So that's really too bad. And it's unfortunate. Maybe he'll surprise me.
Yeah, that is disappointing. But, you know, some creators just resonate more with some people than others. Wade really resonates with me. So almost anyone coming on board after him has a little bit of a disadvantage. One of the things I want to point out, and I don't know who gets the credit for this. I'm going to go with either Emily Shaw, the assistant editor, possibly Mark Panicia, the editor. Did you read the previous issue, right?
Yeah.
Did you read the previously on in this issue?
No, I usually don't if I've just finished up the last issue.
Fair enough. If you read the first couple of words of the last sentence right above the image, they got it wrong.
Starkhorn, Bruce.
It was not Stark.
No, it was
Maria
not.
Hill.
Yeah.
And even if you hadn't read that, you could have turned a couple of pages later when Maria Hill is telling about the brain damage and all that stuff, and Stark's like, what? You know, so it's like, I get mistakes are going to get made on the previously on, but we're talking, you're recapping like the last issue, 20 pages or so of art that, you know, you're editing the book you ought to be kind of familiar with, or at least have handy to reference. I mean, I'm not saying they got to memorize every plot aspect of every comic they're editing. That would be a little crazy to expect. But having somebody else read it over, having somebody catch that, it's easy for mistakes like that to get made. But it's a little,
it's harder to forgive with the big two, I think, and the amount of staff that they have, and, you know, the sheer number of editors that they employ. It's less easy to forgive that sort of thing.
They've got a bigger editorial staff. They've got more people who could have caught that, you know? So yeah, I agree. That's part of why I pointed out is I'm willing to give a mom and pop shop that's like two people who are doing this in their spare time after their day job, I'll cut them some slack. You know, I've seen some egregious errors in those sorts of things too, but I don't really feel the need to point it out. Whereas if you've got somebody at one of the main, well, not even one of, Marvel is the major company, head and shoulders over DC in sales often, I really want them to have their A game out there on all aspects of this stuff.
And it was only a couple of episodes ago where we had the same problem with the big gun in Original Sin as well. They kind of got that wrong.
That one I'm a little more forgiving on, in so much as I really don't think a lot of the current crop of assistant editors and stuff like that came up as hardcore comic book fans. I mean, Tom Brevoort, he is a tried and true comic book geek, no question about it. Some of the others we've got, they're fans, they're not hardcore. So anything that's got, you know, have you read tens of thousands of comics to really need to know? Yeah, I'll cut some slack. That's trivia. This is a factual thing in the current story on, you know, the fourth issue of the title.
In the previous issue.
So, you know, yeah, it's exactly where the previous issue left off. It's a little harder to forgive that.
Yeah. All that stuff aside, I had a lot of fun with this issue. It moved forward quite a bit. I enjoyed the art. I liked the dynamics between all the characters and kind of Tony stepping in and taking over. And I liked the way this book reads. It's a lot of fun, and I gave it a 4.
I can totally see that. As much as I might give, you know, the editor a little bit of a hard time, Wade's been telling a great story. Bagley's been doing some great art. I do think this was a little, I don't want to say rushed, but it was not the high point of the 4 issues for me. It was probably, in some respects, the weakest of the 4, but still very strong. I just like how they're doing inventive stuff with the character, how they're going in a different direction, how they're moving forward, you know, Banner's relationship with S.H.I.E.L.D., other characters' relationship with Maria Hill and S.H.I.E.L.D., and just kind of what's going on. It, as an issue, worked very well. As kind of the closing part of this arc or whatever, it worked well. So, I mean, it's funny because, again, a lot of the books I'm really loving these days, a lot of the issues and stuff, Wade's name is on it. So, shall we move on to our other book of the week?
Yes, sir.
This is Armor Hunters number 1 from Valiant. How much of Valiant are you reading these days, Drew?
Still just Quantum and Woody and the occasional Archer and Armstrong.
You should read more of Archer and Armstrong. I would recommend Bloodshot. The rest of their stuff is really good. I'm trying to think if I should be pushing you to read it or not. And okay, so you've got some familiarity with the characters, but you're not really whole hog into their universe. How much familiarity do you have with Exo?
I experienced a little bit of him in Unity, number okay. 1. And so I recognized him from that. This wasn't a bad issue. I kind of was slow at the beginning, but as it went on, I thought it got better and better and stronger, and it finished really strongly.
It was accessible enough for you then?
Oh, yeah.
Good. I liked the issue, but I've also been reading all of the Valiant Universe. So, I mean, this is kind of kicking off their big summer event. It's going to cross over into a total of like 18 issues, including this miniseries. But I was a little curious how well it would read if you didn't know about Exo or some of that stuff. Glad to hear it read well. I mean, for me, I really think this set up the event, the threat, the characters that I don't say the villains of the piece, but who are the threat of the story. I did think the end, and we're going to get a little spoilery here, probably more so than usual, but it's relevant, particularly what happened in Mexico City, a little over the top. It's like, oh, we know it's serious because that happened. You know, it's the sort of a thing in a shared universe with ongoing continuity. It's hard to have events of a certain scale or size or nature happen and not have serious ramifications of it. I mean, just in the new 52 universe over at DC, they flooded Boston, Gotham City twice, Metropolis, and a few other cities. Yet nobody really seems to have noticed or minded, you know? And what happens here in Mexico City is game-changing. You know, you can't kind of, if you were in that world, you couldn't not know about what happened after a little bit when it hit the news and so forth. You know, it's of that decisive of a nature. And I always question when a storyline does something like this, a year from now, is anyone even going to remember? Or are we going to be vacationing in Mexico City as if nothing happened?
Yeah. I don't know if we'll be doing anything in Mexico City for a while.
That's my question, though, on the continuity. How well are they going to play that long term? But that's not really a hit on this issue. It's just the sort of thing, given what they did, you know, was it for dramatic effect or will it really play out? They have a little bit of stuff at the end kind of previewing or teasing the different miniseries coming out of it, the Armor Hunters, Bloodshot, and Harbinger and stuff. And
I thought that was handled well, and I think that's a good idea for these initial issues of an event, is to give the reader that a little bit of extra to help get them into the right issues. I think that was handled really well. I hope it's effective for them, but I thought they were nice little snippets and good springboards into the other series.
I would agree with that. My concern or comment was it made the end of the story happen so close to after the staple that it made the issue feel short.
Yes, it did.
And that perception thing, I'm concerned about if people think they would have gotten enough out of this. I didn't count the number of pages here. I think we got a full issue.
It was like 40 pages, yeah.
So, but it in some respects, felt both full and light, which is an interesting combination. I appreciate them having the checklist in the inside front back cover, just so you kind of know where to go and follow it next. There have been a few titles, crossover titles over at Marvel and DC, where if I wasn't getting sent the postcards in my DCBS box, I'd be a little confused as to what is and isn't a part of the story. Still get that way at times with the Superman Doomed stuff. So for me, this was good. It set up the story well. It ended on a very dramatic note, a very strong start to the story. And I don't know if I really want it to be 4 months long, but it is, so I'll deal with that. It made it up to the 4 out of 5. Little on the lowish side of that, but still definitely a 4.
Yeah, for me, it started off pretty slow. And as I was reading the first, 5-6 pages or so, I was thinking, this is the problem I have with some of these Valiant titles, is it feels like a poor man's DC to me. These characters are characters I don't really know, I don't have a history with at all, familiarity, and they're told in such a way that these stories are kind of just bland and nothing, nothing really that exciting. But then this issue got better as it went along, and more and more interesting, and I really liked the way it ended, and I love the way that they catapulted into the other issues. So yeah, it made it over the 3 into the low 4 for me as well. So it got better as it went along, and I think anybody who's reading any of these titles in Valiant is really going to like it. And I think even a new reader like myself, I think you won't mind it either. It's pretty good.
Well, and they did a good job introducing Exo in this issue, and that was something, if they had done a misstep on or just assumed you knew who he was, I think really would have changed the context of the issue, because he's really the established character in this issue.
Yeah.
Cool. So, I got a number of other books this week, a couple I haven't quite gotten to, but there's one I have to talk about. Remember how a couple of weeks ago we talked about New Avengers?
Yeah.
And how it was issue 18, and I was really looking forward to, the fight with the Avengers and the Great Society.
You were finally going to get your showdown, yes.
Finally going to get that. Didn't get that number 18, so it's like, all right, 19. Well, 19 came out this week.
Awesome.
I'm really looking forward to 20, unless they fool me yet again.
It was a little bait and switch.
This is not decompressed, but deceptive and stalling. If this were a older school comic, 80s or, late 90s, whatever, they would not have spent 2 issues teasing, are these 2 groups going to fight? It would have been the minute the other team shows up, just out the door, there's a smackdown and it's on. Hell, I've read a lot of crossovers like that or whatnot. JLA, JSA team-ups were that way. Interdimensional transporter goes off, suddenly it's the crime syndicate and bam, they're fighting. It's. Here, we've gotten a lot of talking, a lot of exposition, a lot of hemming, of hawing, of, well, are we going to fight? Are you going to blow up the world? What are you going to do? And it's like, come on. Particularly with the covers of these two really teasing a fight between these groups. It was deceptive. And it wasn't a bad story. I enjoyed both issues, but it also wasn't what I was expecting based on the solicits, the cover, or how the previous issues had ended. And I can't help but wonder if a lot of people leave certain issues a little more disappointed because of that sort of thing, where they had the wrong expectations going in because of the way the book was pitched or the cover. So very, very disappointed with that.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it is. So what else did you read this week?
You know, that the Astro City was really interesting. It was part brilliant and part odd. What did you think of that with the large, real huge narrative panels that just kind of, went on and on, very poetically written. And then you've got this bank heist woven in through there. And I don't know what to make of this one. I don't think it's in the top half of my favorite of this run, but it was really an intriguing read.
It was an intriguing read. It was a good story. There were aspects, and this gets a little spoilery here, about the bank robbery where it was almost told in reverse order in some respects, where it kept flashing further back to what led up to what. And to me, that always, you know, makes me wonder, are they hiding a weaker story? And I'm wondering if I read it in chronological order, if that would have worked better for me. It was not the top issue of the series by far. Was it in the top half? Let's see, this was issue 13?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so.
We had the Sorcerer Supreme one. That was certainly up at the top for me.
I even put the Wing Victory trilogy above this.
I was going to say, those three would be above this.
Yeah.
Certainly the two-parter with the call center would be above this. That's six issues right there.
The first two.
Yeah.
First two issues, so yeah.
I was thinking two and three, actually.
Yeah.
Certainly so, this wasn't a bad issue. I mean, for me, it was a 4 out of 5, but so many of the others have been so solid or stronger 4s out of 5 and whatnot. In some cases, some 5 out of 5s. This one was a weak 4 out of 5. I mean, it's still Astro City. It's still very good, but it's not one I would hand to somebody and say, oh, you've got to start with this issue. You know, I think some of the other issues, particularly the one with the Sorcerer Supreme's assistant, that's one I think I could hand to somebody and get them hooked on the book.
Yeah.
You know, the people who were the lower level powers in the film industry, that's one I think I could get some people hooked on it. You know, this was good, this was fine, but yeah, it was a little bit of an odd duck.
Yeah, I thought Walking Dead was really kind of a slow read this time around. I wish I had the patience to let a couple issues stack up. I think it really benefits from a bigger chunk of story. And I just don't have the what it takes to not read that comic when it's out. I have to read it, and it's my own fault. But it really benefits from a larger piece of story to read. Like, you know, 127 with its being double sided was fantastic, and this one was just okay.
I think it benefits from that, but I don't think it has incomplete issues like a lot of other titles sometimes do. I guess what I'm saying is I think it reads very well as individual issues, but I think it also reads much better because you can get much deeper into the story if you read a lot more consecutively.
I think maybe it's more rewarding to read a little larger piece of it at a time.
Well, it's the double-edged sword of having a story that is so engaging is you want to really dive into it and spend a little time there, and 20 pages and you're done. It's like, but... It's like swimming laps, but you only swim one lap, not even a full back and forth. Just there, you're done. Okay, why did I come to the pool? That was more trouble than it was worth. Whereas, you know, you get in or whatever. He tells really good stories. He tells issues that are satisfying. But I completely agree. If you dive in deep enough, do a 6-issue arc, 12 issues, something like that, you get so immersed in the world, so sucked into it, and it's got smooth transitions between issues. They don't seem to jump. He doesn't lose track of where the last issue left off. You know, sometimes it flows seamlessly. Sometimes it's just a natural scene break. And in some of the trades I've seen, he doesn't even have chapter headers. He keeps going. And it's the story pulls you along. So, I mean, I totally agree with you that the more you can do in a single sitting, the more satisfied you're going to be. But in a good way versus how, in some cases, you've got to read a bunch of issues just to get a single story.
Right. I'm gobbling these up issue to issue because I can't wait. Because it is so good. But it is more rewarding to read a little larger piece of it at a time.
Well, I think the other thing that's worth pointing out is he, by and large, is not telling stories. He's telling an ongoing narrative. You know, with very few exceptions, things are happening consecutively. We don't jump over time. We don't skip things. We don't bounce around from place to place. It's not like your typical, you know, Batman or Spider-Man or Superman or Fantastic Four thing where there is the end and the next story happens some indeterminate time later. There is a very clear timeline and ongoing continuity and narrative to The Walking Dead that plays well over more issues and is something that I think is very unique in comics by and large. You know, Saga is doing a similar-ish sort of a thing, but there also seems to be a little bit of time jumps between, you know, the different arcs and whatnot sometimes. You know, and that works, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's something I've noticed.
Yeah. I really enjoyed Part 3, Icarus Part 3 of the Detective comics. The new creative team of Francis Manapole and Brian Buccioletto
getting better and better with each issue, I think. I thought this art was fantastic.
That still hasn't totally clicked with me. It's not bad, but it's not one that I'm just raving over. You know, whereas some of the stuff they're doing on some other books, again, Star Trek's doing really well for me. What's another one that came out that I'm really enjoying? I thought they made a very interesting choice with Mighty Avengers this issue. I still think the previous issue was so far the highlight of the series for me. I read Figment number one. That was really enjoyable. Hardcore, Bloodshot and the Hardcore, still really liking that. That's another Valiant book you ought to be reading. What's going on in All New X-Men? That's been doing some good stuff. All New Invaders has really clicked with me a lot more than I was thinking it might.
Oh, really? That picked up after that first issue.
I think so. I was a little afraid it was going to be a little more World War II-y.
Yeah.
And nostalgia or whatever, but they've been telling some good stories. I think they've made this a very viable team for the present day with a lot of very interesting dynamics. And I'm looking forward to the entire kind of group regathering. Just because, I mean, it's the kind of thing that Namor's a lot of fun to see in that sort of a setting where he's got some people he actually likes and respects, yet he's still Namor. He's still going to be arrogant and kind of be who he is. Yet the one we get over in New Avengers, the version of Namor there, I don't know that he likes the rest of the New Avengers at all, other than, say, Cap, you know? And again, what they're doing with the Human Torch there is a lot of fun in All New Invaders. It's... Given the past history of the Invader titles, I was afraid it was going to be almost over by now, because this was issue 6. So there were quite a few things that came out. A lot of them, this week, for whatever reason, a lot of them just didn't move the needle off kind of the, yep, it's just there. Didn't hate them, didn't love them. I was just a little more ambivalent on a lot of them this week. One of the franchises I'm getting that way on a little more than I care for is the Green Lantern Corps. That was one that after Geoff Johns kind of got off that franchise, it's meandered. It's become essentially just another superhero book, except it's in space, and that never benefits a superhero book in sales terms. So what else did we get that was of particular interest? Those are the highlights.
Starlight still working for you?
It's interesting. It was a 4 out of 5 this time. It's one that actually I think makes a very interesting kind of companion book to Flash Gordon.
Yeah,
because
I can see that.
It's a very similar character, except you've got over at Dynamite, Flash Gordon is just now becoming Flash Gordon, whereas over in Starlight, you know, this is the second go round for this guy. So I'm enjoying it. It's good. It's still one of those that I think they could go in a few different directions. I mean, I don't think they're locked in on some stuff. And we'll see if it's got the legs for the long haul or not. I think it certainly has that potential.
Real Heroes, is it Hitch or Fitch? Which one's on Real Heroes?
That one's Hitch.
Hitch. Does that pick up any?
I'm liking it, but did it pick up any is a tough question. We're at the third issue, and some of these characters are just now kind of clicking in as to what's going on. And it's, again, a very interesting kind of mashup between the concepts of Avengers and Galaxy Quest. I'm liking it. I'm enjoying it. It is not knocking my socks off, though, but it's a good read.
There's a couple that I'm woefully behind, one more than the other. Royals Masters of War, number 5, came out. I'm a couple issues behind on that. It's winding down now. It's a 6-issue mini. Are you enjoying that? I know you were a little lukewarm on that first issue.
I'm liking it, but I'm still kind of lukewarm on it. It's an interesting concept. They've done some fun stuff with it, but it's one of those that I think if I had skipped, I don't know that I would have regretted that decision. I don't regret having gotten it. It's been a decent read. But, you know, again, I'm getting somewhere north of about 200 different titles these days. So a lot of them, frankly, do kind of blur together. I'm reading them for enjoyment, not, you know, like trivia contests or something.
And in Federal Bureau of Physics, was another. I'm way behind on this one, probably a trade behind on this one by now.
That one's not living up to my expectations.
Okay. I was wondering if that had meandered and if I needed to spend some time catching up or not even bother.
I think you should spend some time catching up and then decide if you continue. I always recommend if somebody gets behind and it's like, do I stay with this or not? That to me is a sign that you need to read it with the eye towards making that decision. And it's one of those books, if I needed to cut back, I could cut back. I don't need to cut back. It's not one that's at the top of the yep, it's gone list if I had to suddenly start making decisions, but it would be under consideration. It's not bad, but it had such promise, such a unique concept, and it's slow. It's just not moving fast enough or entertainingly enough for me. Whereas, again, I read Figment. I really enjoyed that. What else? There was one or two others that came out this week that were just... well, we got another issue of Nightcrawler. Yeah. Loving that book. That's just hit a sweet spot of a writer who really knows the character and how to play the character. An artist that just is a good match for the character. And it's got the nostalgia stuff going for it, because I've always loved the character of Nightcrawler. Yet, it's solid story. It fits in the modern context and storytelling sensibilities. It's just a great combination for me personally. You know, for somebody who's not attached to the character, or doesn't like Claremont's writing, or can't stand Todd Knock's art for some crazy reason, I can't imagine why. Okay, maybe it wouldn't click for them. But for me, yeah. That would be one of the Marvel books, if I had to really cut back, that would stay on the list longer than others.
Oh yeah, I think it's really well done. Of the two weeklies, I was able to read Batman Eternal, but I didn't pick up Future's End number 6 yet. How's that working for you?
Future's End is starting to do a little bit better in a few areas. They're playing with a couple of characters like Firestorm that I really enjoy. But it's 5 years later, therefore it's like, how much do I care about that continuity? Does it even matter? So it's got that, I don't say barrier to entry, but that makes it a little harder sell than if it was taking place present day. I think I'd feel more attached to it. Whereas it's got a stronger through line and continuity and consistency to that title than Batman Eternal, which seems to be telling a lot of rotating stories like we've talked about in the past. But that one's finally starting to circle back on some stuff. And is working for me pretty well. I mean, I'm liking both, but there are parts of each I would like to see the other adopt.
Oh, okay.
Batman Eternal, I think, could learn a lot more from the Future's End crew on telling future stories and having things circling a little bit more tighter. I don't feel like they've started multiple plot threads they just haven't come back to 6 issues in on Future's End, whereas certainly 6 issues in on Batman Eternal, I felt that way.
Yeah, that's true.
Yet Batman Eternal is taking place current day, relevant to the present day titles. I like that aspect of it. So, you know, both have their high points.
The one thing about Future's End that I want to kind of keep up with is, I think I'm going to get some, I'm assuming I'm going to get some clues about the September event, you know, and get some excitement for that event and what might be happening with some of these other characters. Are you getting any more insight as you're reading this? Because it's a 5 years later deal too, right? It's supposed to, I'm assuming it's all going to tie together.
Yeah, I think at that point we're going to see what everybody else has been up to, is up to, what their status quo is and whatnot. But will that matter or not is my question, because, you know, look at some of the Villain Month stuff that really we've not seen some of those characters since in a few cases.
There were some lost opportunities there. I mean, there were some fun stuff that I think you had pointed out. So many of them were just dead ends. It didn't pick up anywhere, didn't continue anywhere. And so why do that?
The one I've got the biggest hopes for out of the September event one is the Booster Gold issue.
Hmm.
That looks like it'll showcase some characters we just haven't seen for a while. He's a time traveler, therefore it has possibilities of actually having ramifications come October. So I'm curious what the big picture plan is over at DC. The whole let's jump in time, let's put some characters out of commission for a bit has gotten old for me. And the need to constantly change up their status quo to tell good stories does not hold water for me. You know, I look over at Marvel, who, yes, I may give them a hard time for, like, New Avengers never getting around to telling the story that they claim they're going to tell. But in a lot of their books, they're really telling some great stories with a lot of momentum behind them, a lot of excitement. I want to read that next issue of Iron Man, Daredevil, Deadpool. I'm loving Deadpool these days. Had another great issue of that this time. It's still wacky and not for everybody. It's, again, if you don't like that sensibility, there are going to be people who hate it, but there are also people that just love that character and that title. And I've read it throughout, and this is probably, for me, one of the best runs of Deadpool.
Okay.
So Yeah. I think there's a lot Marvel could be teaching DC right now in storytelling style and stuff.
And you're liking Duggan on Nova, too?
I am liking a few aspects here and there, but really, anytime the Nova and Watcher got together, I really enjoy that title and that character.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
But most of the other times, it's, I don't want to say cliche, but it doesn't ring true. They set some stuff up and then never really get back to it. They set up the potential girlfriend character, who I don't know that we've really seen since. They've done some other stuff that it's just, it's false promises. It lacks focus, direction, or payoff. It's not bad, but no, I'm not going to say I really love his writing on the book.
I guess Nova's going to make an appearance in Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
The Nova Corps is. In the trailers, we've already seen them. Whether Nova himself makes an appearance, I'm not sure.
I think you take those first five issues that Jeff Loeb did, and that's your movie for 2017, Marvel. I think that would be great.
The challenge I see doing that version of Nova with Sam, as he's so young, I think it would be easier to do a little bit older of a character. But there's nothing to say you couldn't do one with Sam at that age. The next movie picks up a little bit more with a teenager, you know, Rich Rider version of the character almost, or aged character.
Yeah, it would definitely have to be PG.
Well, it's not even a matter of the PG stuff. It's a matter of how much time really elapses between the Iron Man movies. Doesn't really matter. It's not like, you know, Robert Downey Jr. is visibly aging that much. You get somebody who's like 10. Just over the course of filming a major motion picture, they're going to age a bit. By the time you come back for a sequel, they're going to look a bit different, you know? That's kind of an issue they've had to a degree with Once Upon a Time on ABC, is the lead character of Henry, from where he looked and was at age-wise at the beginning to where he's at now. He's older. It's a different maturity level of the character and stuff like that while I think it could be fun to see an action movie with a really young lead as Nova or whatever, can you build a franchise on that? Can you build a string of movies on that? Once you get to the teenage years, I think you can. Once you're preteen like that, it's tougher. So.
And this is by the time this goes up, this will be the last opportunity to send in clips. Is that correct?
I certainly don't, certainly hope not, because, I mean, hell, I'm still looking at what I'm going to pick. Right now, as we record this, the online solicits are up at Comic Book Resources. I've put the thread up on the forum with links to all of those. I will be up front and say I'm having a hard time finding any picks from the premier publishers, by and large. That certainly wouldn't help any by this being the September round of shipping stuff, and DC having already spilled the beans on that a few months ago.
Oh, this will go up on the 23rd.
This will go up on the 23rd.
Yeah, and we'll have one more after this.
We'll have one more after this, but by all means, send in clips, look at the online stuff. Let's try to get this kind of done before the July 4th weekend. I think there's some interesting stuff coming out. There's certainly a few things in the back half of previews that have my attention and that are definitely going to be comic book page picks of the month. But, you know, normally I pick 9 or 10 items, and I've only got about 5 so far. So I've still got a little digging to do myself. But like I said, Marvel, DC, Image, IDW, and Dark Horse, all of their stuff is up over on Comic Book Resources. There are links in the forum. Take a look. You can send in clips based on that. And if there's something in some of those that you think, oh, wow, John, you really ought to pick this as a comic book page pick of the month. Because, I mean, DCBS knocks a few percentage points off. It makes it a little cheaper, whatever. Let me know. Otherwise, I may uncharacteristically be picking a lot more Image and back half of previews type stuff, because right now the only things I have in the front half are from Image. Kind of funny. But yeah, the deadline is going to be July 5th, that Saturday, for the clips. We're not going to do a previews teleconference this month. 4th of July weekend, and I've got a lot going on. I've got to be geared and ready for Comic-Con and stuff, too. So, anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
That'll do it for me.
Cool. Join us next week as we discuss Batman and Ra's al Ghul number 32 from DC, Silver Surfer number 3 from Marvel, and The Wicked and the Divine number 1 from Image Comics. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.